Hey everybody, welcome back to Patriot to the Core podcast this week. Thank you for tuning back in and listening to me. I am Thad Forrester, and I hope you find these podcasts uplifting or inspiring, especially with us living in such troubled times with so much negativity and chaos and just bickering and division among so many people in the world and including in our country. I think this podcast does a great job of highlighting some of the good that many people are doing throughout the world. And today's guest is no different, Mr. Bill Williams of Remembering Our Fallen. He and his wife, Yvonne, have really done an incredible job with this organization. And their website is fantastic. They have some really powerful videos. And I encourage you to go to rememberingourfallen.org and to watch some of these videos. And I think you'll be not only impressed, but you probably will want to, assist in some way, donate, or keep following them, or attend one of the exhibit unveilings in your state when they come. They were in my state of Alabama last spring, so, over a year ago, and up until the day it happened, I was going to be there, and then something happened, and I couldn't be there, but I'm excited to have Bill on. We actually had a great conversation, and I was very impressed by what he does and the people he's met and brought to his speaking series that's called American Spirit Summit, and so he'll talk about all that. So I'll bring him in now. All right, so Mr. Bill Williams from Remembering Our Fallen, thank you for joining me today on Patriot to the Core.
Very good, thanks, Thad.
I would like you just to go ahead and start with just give us an overview, really, how you got started with this organization, what its purpose is, and what it's meant to you so far.
Well, what happened was, we live in Omaha, Nebraska, and about 5 years ago, the Omaha World Herald did a story about a father who'd lost his son in Iraq and his concern that he would be forgotten. So Yvonne and I read the story, came up with the idea to create an exhibit of the pictures, didn't want it to sit in a museum, wanted it to travel from town to town. Proud to say that that first one's been on the road around the state of Nebraska every week since January 2nd of 2011. All over the state, been seen by thousands. Just did one the other day, escorted by 63 motorcycles. So there's people on the street with flags, and so it's a pretty neat deal. So that's what started it. Now we have 18 states done, and our goal is one for every state, unveil them in New York and D.C., and then begin a national tour. So that's our whole mission, that is not, is so these fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan will not be forgotten. And I think, as you know, from your personal experience, all the family's concern is the same, that they're going to be forgotten because a lot of folks don't pay attention, right? Because less than 0.5% serve in the military today. So it's not like World War II, where everybody was involved with victory gardens or scrap metal drives. Now, so few serve that that a lot of families and a lot of us feel that people just don't pay attention like they should and honor the fallen. So that's really our mission, is that they not be forgotten. Right now, we have 50% of the fallen in the country done. And even though it's 18 states, the reason for that is the big states, the largest losses are done. California has lost 710 Native sons and daughters. To put that in perspective, the Nebraska exhibit, the Kansas, the Iowa, those are all 40 feet long. California's, when set up in one long line, is 240 feet. Whoa. And we unveiled California a year ago, January, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. So we had 1,000 Gold Star family members there. And that's what we do with all these states. We always have a ceremony where the families have the opportunity to see it first. Texas was done a few years ago. They've lost 600. So that's why it's 50% of the fallen. And so that's what we want to do, is try to do one of these memorials. Now, we're working on a plan to take a new direction, because these are all designed for indoor display. Each one of these frames, they pop up, and they're a lightweight frames like you see at any trade show. Well, they can't take the elements. They can't be outdoors. So that has hindered us in places where they can't appear. We weren't able to display the California exhibit at the State Fair in Sacramento because 240 feet indoors is just too much for a state fair. So that's why our company here in Omaha that produces, creates our exhibits, is working on a concept where they can appear outdoors. So the idea is to gather all these pictures from all over the country of all the fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan, from the families, and then we'll put them onto this outdoor display, and then we'll take all 50 of them, all 50 states included, on a tour around the country, similar to what you've seen with these traveling Vietnam walls. There's three or four of those that travel the country. So it's really in that mode that we'd do the same thing, essentially. Set up at, you know, it could be at state fairs or county fairs or any event where there's a crowd. And we just think it'll give them more exposure than situations where they have to be inside.
Yeah, are you familiar with the good folks out in Manteca, California, with a large Memorial Day event? They have a traveling tribute.
No, I don't think so. Huh.
We've been there, and they've honored my brother Mark, and they have a very impressive tribute. They do travel. I don't know how much this part of the country and the eastern side of the country, but they have been to my hometown in North Alabama. But they have a very awesome. It's not as big as yours. But they have it's a similar thing, but they don't have pictures of every one of them. They have panels with names, and they have a picture of one fallen hero from the time period on that panel that's kind of illuminated.
So it's Iraq and Afghanistan?
It is.
So you're saying it's a traveling wall with names with one picture on each panel?
Correct. They've got about 11 panels, I believe, right now.
Huh.
And they to cover the 6,000 plus people who've been killed. And is that what it is? Am I speaking
correctly? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So anyway, it's very impressive.
Traveled all the way to northern Alabama.
They did. They came a few years ago for a large event that we have every year. But I'll send you some information later. It's very, very impressive.
What's the name of the town again?
Manteca, California. They have the largest Memorial Day event on the West Coast, possibly in the country. In fact, one of my podcasts, episode 3, I believe, was Mike Dillman, who's the pastor who started it. He's a Vietnam veteran. Great man. So I'll shoot you some information.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that. I've never heard of it.
You mentioned a while ago about the Reagan Library. Now, your website, by the way, has some incredible videos. And I watched a video on that, the Reagan Presidential Library memorial there. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit, what it was like to be there with your tribute?
Well, it's interesting because I just cold called the library when we got the California one near completion. We knew we had to have it unveiled somewhere. We thought, well, the state capitol in our other states, well, at the University of Alabama that's where Alabama's was unveiled. Texas was the State History Museum. Georgia was the National Infantry Museum. Florida was the state capitol. So we try to pick a place like that. And so I cold called the Reagan Library and told them who we were and asked if we could have our unveiling there. And they checked us out, called back, and said, this is the kind of event that President Reagan would want us to do. And then they said there'll be no charge, which we were amazed at. So it's a beautiful library museum. It's the best we've ever seen. I mean, we've seen 7 or 8 presidential libraries, but it's hands down the best. They have their own hangar with Air Force One and Marine One in it, and it's just beautifully done, and plus the view is extraordinary. So that's that was a neat event, and 1,000 family members came, and California is powerful, obviously, because it's so enormous when it is set up in one long line.
Wow. There was a woman, a Gold Star mother, in that video. She was very well-spoken, and she said, my son gets cuter and cuter. You know, every time she sees
the picture. I know who you're speaking of. Yep, right. Yeah. And that was Yvonne's idea. We started out thinking we would just ask the families for the military photo, and then Yvonne said, let's ask them for their favorite personal picture. Well, that's what makes it.
Yeah.
Because you, in many cases, there's a straight-ahead, unsmiling Marine, but then the inset is him with his 4-H cap when he was 8 years old. They send all kinds of touching photos that are on the display. So it really adds a lot. Plus the personal notes, as these memorials travel their individual states, then people leave notes and clothing items and caps and all kinds of different things. And so we try to leave all those notes on there. We pin them on there so they'll be able to travel from town to town.
So what did you know about Gold Star families before you started this?
Well, I mean, I think mostly, well, that's true. You know, you hear that, people will still ask us, what's Gold Star mean? They don't know what the term is, but we knew what the term was. But, you know, the best part of this, I think, are the parents and the family members we've met in all these states, because they're so appreciative when they see it, and they see it's done well. And when we started, people, I think, were a little skeptical. Why are these Nebraska people wanting a picture of my son or daughter? But now it's not quite as difficult, because we've done it so long with 18 states that there's so much on the internet about us with Remembering Our Fallen or Bill and Yvonne Williams that they can check us out and see that it's legitimate. Nobody's asking them for any money or anything. And our next state up is New York, which is September 10th. And that's going to be unveiled on the Intrepid Air and Space Museum in New York City. So we're hoping that brings some media attention, given where it's going to take place. And so it could attract some attention and help us finish this mission.
So how do you get the word out?
Yvonne's good at that. Social media. Each state has survivor outreach representatives. They're called SOS. Alabama has a couple. We have a couple here in Nebraska. Bigger states have 3, maybe 4. But it's called SOS. Well, these government employees work with the families. And so we always notify them when we're working on the next state, because it's important that they're involved in it, so that when we do the unveiling, they're there at the unveiling ceremony. They're a familiar face. And so it's always helpful. And then they spread the word, and then the media picks it up. And when the word spreads, it's going to travel from one town to the next. And so, yeah.
Well, you do a good job. I mean, I'm guessing you're a small operation. Is that right?
Well, let's see. We are, she's in the living room and I'm in the parlor. Those are our offices. Yep. It's our national headquarters is pretty much the kitchen table.
So do you have another job?
No, this is what we did when the World Herald did that story. A small college here in Omaha called Bellevue University came to us and said, we like what you're doing. We want to sponsor a few more states. So that's when Yvonne and I quit our jobs. And that's when we formed Patriotic Productions. And then we started doing this from home. But it's just one of numerous things that we do. One's the honor flights for Nebraska, World War II, Korea, and now Vietnam veterans. And we've had a speaker series with actually, we had Glenn Frazier. Yeah, have you ever met Glenn Frazier from Mobile?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's a Bataan Death March survivor. Colonel Glenn Frazier, we brought him to Omaha a few years ago. You ought to go meet him, Thad.
Yeah.
He lives in Daphne.
Okay, I know where that is. That's down near Mobile.
Yeah, Colonel Glenn Frazier. What's the name of his book, Yvonne?
Hell's Guest.
Hell's Guest.
Okay.
Is his book. But he's almost, what is he now, 92?
Probably, 91.
92. If you remember when Ken Burns did The War, that multi-part series on World War II a number of years ago, I think he's in the opening scene of The War, and about him broke up with his girlfriend, rode his motorcycle through a bar, knocking over tables, out the back door, and he knew they were after him, so he took off for another town, and he joined the service, and he ends up in the Bataan Death March.
Wow, so what did y'all do in Nebraska when you had him up there with you?
Well, we had him as a speaker in our speaker series. So we took him to a high school besides an evening event, but we took him to a high school. Afterwards, all these high school kids lined up. One was a Japanese-American kid, gets up to Colonel in tears, and he apologizes for what his forefathers or whomever had done to Glenn. And Glenn wraps his arms around him and hugs him, and he says, "I'm just glad you're here." I mean, it was just really powerful. But he's a fine example of the greatest generation, what he's been through. I mean, it's like Unforgiven with Louis Zamperini.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like that. The only difference is Glenn wasn't out on the raft. Remember the part where he's out floating around?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Louis was on that raft. But it's essentially the same story. Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to look him up. I'm going to actually try to contact him. So
there's another speaker we did one time. If you need Glenn's contact, we'll just send it to you.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Thank you.
Another one, a few years ago, some locals brought in Jane Fonda for a big fundraiser. So for counter-programming, I called Colonel Bud Day down in Florida. Well, the late Colonel Bud Day is the highest decorated service member since General MacArthur. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Medal of Honor recipient, Hanoi Hilton, 5 years, 7 months, cellmate of John McCain. So I tracked him down, called him in Florida, explained the situation, invited him to come up. He says, Doris Day, that's his wife, he says, "We'll be there." Well, we went down to the airport to pick him up, and we thought, after what he's been through, he's going to be difficult to work with. Sweetest man, 80-some years old. We didn't know he was suffering from cancer. He gets up to us in the terminal, and he says, "I was so sick last night in Florida, I didn't think I could make it, but I didn't want to let you and Yvonne down." He's unbelievable. Got him the next night. We got him an overhead projector, found one of those. He had these overlays, and we put him on stage at this high school, and he talked about being put in the ropes. They bound his hands behind his back, threw the rope over the rafter, pulled him up, yanked his arms out of their sockets, let him hang there for hours. They cut him down. He would make a disparaging remark about them. Back up he would go. I mean, it was unbelievable what he'd been through. And McCain sent us an email, and he says, "Bud Day is the toughest man I've ever met in my life." So that's another one. We had the doctor who saved President Reagan after the assassination attempt. And that was fascinating because he talked about how he'd been up all night doing a bypass, and he was in his office across from George Washington Hospital in D.C., He heard the sirens after the assassination attempt, didn't know what it was, gets a call, "We need you in emergency stat." So Dr. Ben Aaron goes over to ER, walks in, Secret Service guns out, Secret Service everywhere. They pull the curtain aside, and there's President Reagan on the table, white as a sheet. And he looks up, Reagan looks up at the doctors gathered around and says, I hope all you guys are Republicans.
Yeah.
And so the doctors who scrubbed in were all interns and doctors that Ben Aaron had was working with. A lot of high flyer doctors from around D.C. were showing up because they wanted to get in on this deal. And Aaron says, nope, I'm going with my team, these young guys. So anyway, they open him up, and the intern said, you better hurry, you're going to lose him on the table, because he couldn't find the round. And so Dr. Aaron stops, and he says a prayer, and he searches around, lifts up Reagan's heart, finds that round that bounced off the door jamb, as you've seen the video a million times. It bounced off the door jamb and came under his arm. Well, that was the piece that was lodged under his heart. And so Aaron says a prayer, lifts up his heart, finds it, and obviously saves Reagan's life. But these are just some of the speakers that we brought in because we think it's important whenever possible and affordable to bring in somebody like that. So.
Oh, yeah. So are these speakers all coming to Bellevue College? Or where?
No, we would just have them come to some auditorium or a high school auditorium in Omaha.
Okay, so it's always in Nebraska.
Yeah, always in Nebraska.
What else? Those are very intriguing. You got another one that stands out?
Well, we do a thing for high school kids. This will be our fourth year. It's called the American Spirit Summit. And 4 years ago, I guess it was, we were watching Miley Cyrus or some other so-called celebrity doing something particularly embarrassing on television. We got to talking about what kind of role models students today have, which doesn't look like very many at all. I'm 65. I mean, we look back on John Glenn and Alan Shepard and Mickey Mantle and people like that. But today, you look around at all the bad behavior and the negative messages sent. So that's what we decided. Let's do an event with positive role models. So we had it at a high school auditorium, filled the place, 800 students. World Herald live streamed it. So that was a nice addition. One of the guys we had was Bobby Hinline. He's a stand-up comedian from San Antonio. He was severely burned head to toe in an IED explosion in about 2005 or so. In Iraq. He was the only one that survived it. And he's terribly disfigured. We put him on stage. The reason we do that is because high school kids have a tendency to feel sorry for themselves. Gee, isn't life terrible? I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm too heavy. I mean, whatever it is, everybody has something. So that's why we put up somebody who's overcome a physical problem. And so that's what Bobby did. He got up and he made fun of it. He talked about, you know, some child pointing at him in the Walmart saying, Mommy, Mommy, there's a monster, things like that. And just talking about what it's like to go through his day. But he's a stand-up comedian, so he made it very entertaining. And so he was one of our first speakers. The next year we had Taylor Morris. From Iowa, lost both his arms, both his legs in Afghanistan on an IED and what he goes through. So anyway, now we're going to go. Well, we went to a high school auditorium the second time. Then we went to a hotel ballroom. So last year was 1,500 people. And then this time around, we're going to a bigger place that will fill about 3,500. And so that's the point, is these high school kids come in and hear these stories of overcoming adversity. A lot of school people tell us that kids today have a tendency to fold their tent quickly when they hit adversity. And so the point is to put up people that have been dealt a tough hand and what they've done to to persevere. So that's our American Spirit Summit. And then the thing we're known most for, I think, is the flights to D.C. for World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans. We did 7 World War II flights in 08 to 09. We took 1,500 Nebraska World War II vets to D.C. We go out and back same day. We're about as far west in Omaha, Nebraska, as you can be to go out the same day. And so we see all the sites in D.C., back to Omaha. We did 7 World War II. We did 2 Korea. And on June 6th, we did 502 Vietnam combat veterans, all combat. There were about 11 Purple Hearts. There were 3 Silver Stars, 6 Distinguished Flying Cross. We took the most deserving of the 750 applicants. And as I mentioned, it's the largest group of Vietnam veterans to ever go visit the wall from one state. So the pre-flight dinner the night before drew 1,500 people. And then the wake-up call was 2 a.m. So they're up and at them. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, we broke them into 3 planes, red, white, and blue, pretty clever. And Yvonne thought of it. All the red plane are red shirts, and the white are white shirts, and the blue are blue shirts. Keep them apart so they knew they were on which plane. And every seat is taken, so there was no margin for error where if a guy overslept, he couldn't catch the white plane. So we had to be perfect. And so off we went to D.C., and there were, probably, 500-600 people at DCA Reagan Airport when we landed. And as I said, it's the biggest group ever, so it was pretty high profile. Off to the Vietnam Wall, which is also Lincoln Memorial in Korea, had a ceremony near the wall, did a presentation of a wreath, and then we do the rest of the trap line we do with all our flights, which drive around so they can see the Capitol up close, over to World War II, out to Arlington for Tomb of the Unknown, changing the guard, Air Force Memorial, Iwo Jima, back to the airport, head home. So when we got back on June 6th, these Vietnam combat veterans were greeted by 5,000 people at the airport. And we had a floral guy donate 600 yellow roses. He's a floral distributor. 600 yellow roses. Those were handed out to the crowd so that when the veterans walked through the crowd, led by bagpipers and a color guard, the people in the crowd would reach through and hand each one of them a yellow rose. And it was pretty neat because there was pictures of granddaughters coming through the crowd to give grandpa a yellow rose, and the bands playing and the signs and the flags and the Patriot Guard and the Legion Riders, and just John Q. Citizen showed up at 11 o'clock on a Monday night to greet these men from Vietnam. So we had a guy show up at our house a couple weeks ago that went. And he says, I've had nightmares for 45 years. I sleep maybe 2-3 hours a night. Ever since I've gotten back from the trip, he says, I sleep 7-8 hours a night. I wake up refreshed. I'm just like a new man. And so it's amazing the therapy value, isn't it? That a lot of these guys have sat on metal chairs for years in VA hospitals and counseling sessions, and I told him, I said, rather tongue in cheek actually, but I mean that, you fill Reagan Airport with a bunch of cheering people, citizens, and you put them through a day when people are shaking their hand and thanking them, and then when they return to their hometown, there's 5,000 people. He sleeps like a baby now. So how do you explain that? But it's really meant a lot, the cards and the notes that have come in from these Vietnam guys, because everybody knows they didn't get a fair shake. And so it's just an opportunity, I think. That's why 5,000 showed up, because a lot of people, the older people, feel guilty about the way they were treated. And so it was kind of a chance to thank them and to cheer for them. So it sure seemed to do a lot of good for them.
So you're flying them in to Omaha first from all over the country.
Well, it's all Nebraska.
Oh, so wow.
They come in from around the state. We had 750 apps, and we chose 502. And, you know, we aren't qualified to make the picks because we aren't military. So we have two combat veterans who go through the applications, and they can read the DD-214, and they know what battalion they're in and what unit, and so they could determine the which ones they felt were the most deserving. And that's how we came up with the manifest of 502 Nebraska. So, wow. So three planes come in from American Airlines, and we load them up, and off they go, and they get a water cannon salute upon arrival at DCA, and the same thing happened with our other flights. They shoot water over the top of the plane, and you know, people are there to cheer, and you go through the day. It's just a neat deal.
Wow. See, this is stuff that I feel like I try to keep up with these type of events, but I can't keep up with everything, and this is one that I was not aware of. This is great info. These honor flights. Now, do you have escorts that go with that are assigned with each?
Yeah, we've been fortunate in Nebraska. A lot of these states, and some roughly 200,000 have gone on the various honor flights. Honor Flight is a organization out of Ohio, and we did honor flights. But then this last one, we just called it the Nebraska Vietnam Combat Veterans Flight. So it wasn't associated with them, but we you know, they all run the same. But we have guardians who go along to help. A lot of the smaller flights around the country, that's how they pay for it. They may take 25 veterans, but they'll take 30 guardians. And the reason they do that is they charge each guardian $7,000-$8,000. That's how they pay for it.
Okay.
Or they'll put them on commercial flights. Well, we've been fortunate in Nebraska that this is all charter. We raised $450,000 for this last one. And obviously, you know, $270,000 of that is airplane. So that's obviously the big piece. So everything else is pre-flight dinner, shirts, caps, all the other expenses. But that's all donated money from all over the state. And so we're able to do a first-class job where, you know, we dress them. We don't put them in T-shirts, for example. We never felt, beginning with the World War II veterans, that they would look dignified in a T-shirt. So we're all in top-quality polos, and it says Nebraska Vietnam Combat Flight over the breast and that kind of thing. So we do a first-class job at it, but we've done it so long that we work with mostly the same bus companies, the same tour guides, the same food provider that shows up with the boxed lunches. Yeah, it's quite an operation, but it's a lot of fun, and we have many, many, many requests of people who want to go as guardians. But this last one with 502 veterans, we only took 40 guardians. That's medical people and just others who know what they're doing. To handle the wheelchairs and such. But the way we get around it is we have firefighters help load, that they'll line the ladders on each of the three planes to help guys up. So you have firemen help on this end. On the DC end, you get volunteers, soldiers from Fort Belvoir, Walter Reed, Fort Myers, people like that who know we're coming in. And they show up to ride the buses with you. So we had 12 buses moving around. They're broken into red, white, and blue, so they're all going different directions, essentially. But it's fun.
Wow, you've got a lot of people donating and volunteering, and I know that we found out when Mark was killed how many just good people there were that donated so much for us and. You know, buses and, I mean, all kinds of things. And now, I mean, your organization is a recipient of the same thing. You're out there serving and providing so much good for people. And you've got so many people in the background that are really supporting you.
Know, Nebraska, I guess it isn't any different than Alabama. I mean, these are essentially rural states. You know, how you would be able to do this in a Texas or a California, I mean, because of all the competing, you know, all the activities and all the things going on, I don't know how you would draw yourself any attention. But in Nebraska, it's a statewide thing that these apps come in. Well, out of the 502, there were representatives from 175 towns, big towns, little towns, all over the state.
So what obstacles do you face, whether it's with the honor flights or whether it's with the Remembering Our Fallen or the other, you know, your speaking series? Any obstacles you have to deal with?
Our main focus is the Remembering Our Fallen. I mean, that everything else is secondary to that, even though, you know, this honor flight for Vietnam veterans drew huge attention and it was a wonderful thing, but it's not on the same level, I feel, as Remembering Our Fallen, because of knowing so many of the families and their concern that they're going to be forgotten. So that's why we can't quit till we get this done. And we think we're on the right path now. And Yvonne spends hundreds and hundreds of hours finding the families, because people think you just go to the government and get some list. Well, there isn't one. And when she gets done, she'll have the most accurate list in the whole country. As you know, I mean, if she was widowed 10 years ago. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost your picture.
Sorry, I turned it off because the speed was slowing down, so I was trying to help it out.
So if she was widowed, say, 10 years ago, now she's on the other side of the country, remarried under a different name, then that, think of the work that she does to try to find her or any close family member to get the pictures. And so it's a lot of work to do this, but as you talked about the one in California with just names, which is fine, but we see the day coming when all the states are done and all the pictures are displayed. And as powerful as the Vietnam Wall is, when you bring in the pictures, it's just going to be so much more powerful in our opinion.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not going to quit till we get this done.
So what effect has this had on you and your family by being a part of it?
Oh, it's been life-changing for Yvonne and me. I mean, the boys are grown and gone, and so this is what we do. I mean, even neighbors will comment. They'll walk by at night, and there we are at our in our workstations, and it's just the way it is. We're just always working on it. The phone's always ringing. It's our mission. It's what we do, and we enjoy doing it. And it's with the honor flights, and now we're working on the next American Spirit Summit. Obviously, Remembering Our Fallen and the outdoor version that's under development. So we just keep going. I'll tell you another event. I just almost forgot about this one, Thad. The Nebraska football office the last few years has called about their military appreciation game around Veterans Day. And they'll call and they'll say, can you recommend a World War II honor flight veteran or a Korea honor flight veteran we can put on the field for our veterans game? And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And so I said, they called late summer, and I said, you know, what you really should do is honor the young widows and the children of the fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan. So the woman in charge down there says, all right, well, we could do that. We'll give you some seats behind the bench. Well, we've seen those seats. They aren't good. You can't see the field because the players are there. You have to look at the scoreboard.
Yep.
I wasn't happy about it. I said, well, we'll take it. So I called Sun Country, which is a charter out of the Twin Cities. We took them on a couple of honor flights. And I said, Jane, just for fun, tell me what you'll charge to fly your 737 from Omaha 55 miles to Lincoln. One way. I said, we'll bus them back, but how much to fly them down? She says, Bill, you're not going to believe this. She says, that plane is going to be sitting empty on the tarmac in D.C. or in Lincoln because we happen to be the charter bringing in Michigan State. Well, we call that divine intervention, that. So I said, how much? She says, $15,000. I said, we'll take it. So we got a Duncan Aviation in Lincoln. We asked them if they'd pay for the fuel. They did. Got it down to $11,000. Anyway, the night before the game, it was November 6th last year, and they came to the National Guard camp between Omaha and Lincoln. There were 23 young widows and 35 children between the ages of 4 and 14, and the kids were taken off to what we call boot camp so the mothers could have some time alone, get to know each other. So they had a catered dinner, white tablecloth, fresh flowers. They moved into the next room, the drill floor, which had been turned into a spa. And so the lights were dimmed. There was a video of a crackling fireplace on the big screen. There was a woman playing the harp. Each of the young mothers received a top-of-the-line thick white robe and slippers. Stitched into each one, Yvonne wrote it, it said, when you wear this robe, may you feel the prayers and hugs of your fellow Nebraskans around you. They then moved over to the 7 or 8 volunteer massage therapists who were there, a couple, 3 manicurists. We had a wine bar, a dessert bar, and that went on for about 90 minutes. Kids came back from their boot camp, and each one of them received his or her own quilt. And so they all, off to bed we go. Next morning, Burger King showed up, the buses showed up, the motorcycles showed up, escorted us up to Omaha's airport. Here were hundreds of people, band playing, signs. Each one of the young widows and their children had on a gold sweatshirt that said, Remembering Our Fallen on the front. And on the back it said, Man does not die unless he is forgotten. So they go through the crowd, they get on the airplane, the 737 takes off, banks about 30 seconds, and the pilot says, Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're now descending into Lincoln airspace. That's how short a ride it was. It was about 20 minutes. We land at the Lincoln Airport. There was about 1,000 people there cheering. Onto the buses, over to the ROTC building where the Nebraska Remembering Our Fallen exhibit was set up. And so we had a short ceremony where the branch of the service that their husbands were in, they escorted the mother and the children up to the picture, and they placed a red rose beside his picture. Then we went over to the governor's mansion, went into the governor's mansion, pictures in there, kids running around, banging on the piano. It's Nebraska, after all. And so that was fun. So back on the buses, back over to ROTC, where they filled gold helium-filled balloons, and they wrote notes to their fathers. And those kids believed that Daddy was going to see that note when they released it at the game. So now we make the march, the 2 blocks from ROTC to the stadium. A gauntlet was formed by all the tailgaters, and there were 2 Cobras, 2 Hueys flying overhead doing the escort. All the kids are carrying their big gold balloons with the notes tied out onto the field before the game so they could see what it looked like on the field. The Board of Regents got involved, and all of a sudden there were 70 high-profile VIP seats up on the upper level. Beautiful spot. It was like a patio. And so now this is a nationally broadcast game on ESPN, so we had contacted them. And when we got to the Lincoln Airport, we saw the ESPN cameras there. So we thought, well, this ought to work out great. And anyway, so now it's game time, national anthem. Cameras are on the kids with their gold balloons, ESPN's on them. they released their gold balloons into the heavens. It was on national TV, ESPN. Just a great, great experience for all involved. And that on Veterans Day, PBS NewsHour did about a 5-minute segment on it. I'll send you that. That is pretty good. That shows the balloons being released and the treatment that they received. So that's something else that we did that we really, really enjoyed. And it was just an honor and a privilege to do that for the young widows and the kids.
Well, I saw that video.
Don't you see it?
Oh, yeah. I watched it. That's one thing, too. Not only is what you're doing great, but you're documenting it pretty powerfully, which is important. And so that was a great video. And I remember there was a little boy that said he kept thinking someday his dad would come back.
Oh, that's yeah.
And I think later on he said he realized he wasn't. But anyway, it was touching. It was sad. But yeah. it was a great thing.
Yeah, we think that could be done. In fact, I'm working on it for Yvonne and I are working on it for Iowa State, which is obviously a big rivalry in the state of Iowa. And the point of it is that even though these two teams are competitors and they may not like each other, any way you look at it, it's still a game. So these are our children. So, I mean, I think it should be done for Auburn, Alabama.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think that could easily be done. It wouldn't have to be an airplane. It could be, in fact, with Iowa, we're calling it the Iowa Gold Star Kids Caravan. That just happened to be a freak chance that plane was available, but we can do it. We're going to do it by buses. So they're still going to have the same treatment of the spa and the quilts and the fun. But then the buses will just make their way over to Iowa City before the game, and we'll just do the same thing. So that's what we'd like to see happen, is for other states to do the same. It could be K-State, KU, Missouri. I mean, any of the states.
Oh, yeah.
Any in-state rivalry would be perfect. I can't think of a better one than if it was Alabama-Auburn.
I agree completely. Well, anything I can do to help make that happen, which is probably very little, but I would definitely be glad to help.
Well, we should talk about that, because I think we could work that, yeah. And the fact of the matter is, maybe it isn't football. You know, it's a tough deal to get, particularly for those in-state huge games. I mean, if you tried to get 100 tickets for Alabama Auburn, that's a tough slog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe it's a basketball game. You know, maybe it wouldn't have to be football. It works great because of the gold balloon release. But maybe there's a way it could be adapted. But that's something to think about. You and I can talk about that.
Sure, sure. Wow, this is good stuff. Let me think. I don't know. I think I asked you how it's impacted you and your family. I mean, what are the rewards of this? For you personally.
It's just the satisfaction of working as a team, all the volunteers that want to help and do help us with various things. And I mean, we have this whole network, particularly with the honor flights, that people have, you know, they're just, we've got a list as long as our arms that of people that have helped and want to help. And so when you come up with a new idea, it's not hard to find assistance. And then the financial part of it, it's been a struggle. The Remembering Our Fallen has been a struggle because, you know, little Bellevue University, they can't, and nor should they be the only sponsor. So it's been very, very difficult to find other sponsors around the country. We keep thinking that people will say, gee, I can see the big picture here when this is all done and all the states and all the names of the fallen and all the pictures are included in one unit, one display, one memorial, and that it moves from town to town. It's one thing to create something and put it in a one spot, whether it be in a park or it being a museum and hoping people come by and see it.
Yeah.
The advantage of what we do is that they travel from town to town. And so that's what's good, is because more people have the opportunity to see these pictures of the fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, well that's powerful. Man, I really appreciate your time, Bill. I learned a lot. In fact, I thought I was going to be talking about remembering our fallen, basically, and just the events connected with it. But you've kind of opened my eyes to so many more things that you do, and great info. So I'll put some information in the notes. I'll put websites, but maybe just tell us where people can find out about you and your organizations.
Yeah, we have two websites. One is Patriotic Productions, plural, patrioticproductions.org. And then the other one is rememberingourfallen.org. That's ING, rememberingourfallen.org. And you can see those videos on there. There's one on there, you probably saw it, that when Cisco in California hosted the California Memorial, I think it was last summer, and they had the Gold Star family members who worked for Cisco, and they did this powerful 3 or 4 or 5 minute video that's on our website. But that's where you see the impact of what it means to the families when these memorials come to town. And just the other day when I did the one that was escorted by 65 motorcycles, well, the lead motorcycle was a Gold Star father. So he helped me when we got to the town. He's done it several times with me, but he'll be there, and he helps me set it up, and he puts his son's panel up that his son's picture is on, and it's just things like that. And I do the Iowa delivery and setup. I do the Nebraska delivery and setup, and then all the other states we have somebody, several states, it's a Gold Star family member. Arizona's a Gold Star mother. Alabama's a Gold Star father who does it. Kansas is Gold Star. So, or it's a Texas, is the Texas Funeral Directors Association. Somebody who, because we come back to Omaha, so we loan it to them, and it's their job to try to get the word out, to try to get it booked so that people will come and see it.
Yeah.
But I think the answer is going to be the outside version, because then we could come into the University of Alabama and be able to set it up outside. I just think that it's going to be open up so many more opportunities. And it also would allow the citizens to see the pictures of all the other sons and daughters and husbands and fathers, not just their own.
Yep.
But all of them. And that's really what we need to do. We need to get it all done, and we won't quit until it's done.
Well, you definitely are a patriot to the core, and you're doing great work. You and your wife, I mean, I know Miss Yvonne is, she and I were in a lot of contact when you're preparing for the Remembering Our Fallen exhibit at Alabama last year. And yeah. Anything in closing that you'd like to say?
Well, I just appreciate what you're doing. I think this is great for you know, gives us an opportunity to spread the message of what we're doing, and hopefully folks will take a look at the websites and see what they think of our mission. And we're just convinced that this is going to happen as long as we don't quit, as long as we keep trying. And we're excited about this New York unveiling, because that's pretty high profile on the Intrepid. So we're pretty excited about where we're headed, and we're trying to get there as fast as we can. So we really thank you for this opportunity, Thad.
Well, you're very welcome. I really, the pleasure is mine. I mean, and this is it's a busy time as we record this. We've got the Republican National Convention going on, and I appreciate you just taking time out of your schedule to talk with me. And then, you know, I'm sure I'll meet you sometime in the near future. I wish I had of last year, but wasn't able to.
No.
But thank you. This has been a pleasure. I will,
post some your links up on the show notes, and we'll try to get the word out for you.
I appreciate it, Thad. And then we'll talk sometime about what we could do for the Gold Star children of Alabama. I think Alabama is a perfect fit for this.
Oh, yeah.
So, we've got a couple of connections there at the university that we work with at the unveiling. So we should visit and see if we can come up with a plan.
Yeah, I'm all in.